All right, let's get our Bibles and get ready. This is going to be a continuation of what we started last week. I hope that you're not one of those who believes everything that you hear. But on the other hand, I hope that you're not one of those who doesn't believe anything that you hear if it doesn't line up with something that you heard before. I hope that you're willing to take every preacher's words and then line them up with God's words in the Holy Bible and then stick with the Word of God. Not everybody is sincere. Not everybody is properly informed. And some of the sincerest and most properly informed people, obviously, they don't know everything. And that includes me. That includes you. And so that's why we study the Bible together. So that we can learn, that we might grow, that we might improve, that we might be more the man, the woman, the Christian that God wants us to be, more today than we were yesterday and tomorrow than we are today. So now we're studying the book of Philippians in the Bible, and we've made our way to the sixth verse. And in our last lesson, we began a discussion of what is but should not be a very, very controversial doctrine among Christians. Christians argue about whether or not salvation is a gift given by God, whether or not salvation is given by the grace of God to those who exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or whether or not salvation is by works. You say, brother, I don't know many outside of a ritualistic, sacramental kind of church who believe that salvation is by works and not by grace. All right, then let me ask you something. Isn't it true that the majority of Christian denominations teach that once a man or a woman has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior and has been saved by the grace of God, that they're still not sure of heaven because good works are necessary to either complete or maintain that salvation? Well, the answer, if you're honest, the answer, if you're informed, is yes. Brother, sister, if works are necessary before or after a person trusts Jesus Christ as Savior, then that person is not trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. That person is trusting works or Jesus plus works. That's another thing. And in either case, the dependence, in either case, the final determination of whether or not a person enters heaven, it's going to be according to their works in that way of thinking, and not in the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Now, I'm not going to repeat the verses we already looked at last time, but the starting place for our study was Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where the Bible says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." And what we considered last Monday is whether or not those words are true. Can we confidently believe that our Savior will continue his work of saving us until the day when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face? I'm confident that he will. Many of you are confident that he will. Many people teach or have been taught, though, that he won't. But that's up to them. That's up to you. So let's start here tonight. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 and Romans chapter 11. And it doesn't really matter what order we look at these things. I just picked one, and we'll just start at one and move on. Okay, Romans chapter 8, let's start at verse number 38. Now, in Philippians, the Apostle Paul was confident. In Hebrews, if you remember, he was bold. In Romans 8:38, he says, "For I am persuaded." I am persuaded, okay? He's convinced of something. "That neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Hallelujah. Now, you might not be persuaded. I am. I am persuaded. I am persuaded that rather than live in fear, I can live in gladness. That rather than live in worry, I can live in confidence. That rather than live in bondage, I can live in liberty. Rather than live in doubt, I can live in certainty because I am persuaded that death will not separate me from the love of God. You say, well, yeah, death, of course. I mean, once you die, you can't sin or fall or fail or do anything wrong. All right, that's not where it stops, though. I am persuaded that life cannot separate me from the love of God. How about that? You say, well, you don't know how you're going to live. No, I don't. So you don't know what life will bring your way tomorrow. That's right, I don't. But I am persuaded that whatever happens in life will not separate me from the love of God. What's next? Next comes angels, principalities, powers. Those are satanic forces. So you say the devil might deceive you. The devil might try and trip you up. The devil might oppress you. The devil might cause you to go astray. He might do all of that. He might do worse. But I am persuaded that none of that is able to separate me from the love of God. Then it says, things present. My family, my friends, my job, the world in which I live, all that is present is incapable of separating me from the love of God. Nor things to come. You see, now wait a minute, brother. If I go out here tomorrow, you mean, is that what you mean by things to come? Wait a minute, brother. If a month from now, you mean things to come? You say, are you talking about like the next 5 years, things to come? You can throw all of those what about you want to and what ifs. You can throw all of those out there that you want to. But I am persuaded that no thing to come can separate me from the love of God. Nor height, no matter how high I climb, nor depth, no matter how low I sink. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. You say, well, okay, now I can agree on that point, but what if you, okay, see, people that believe salvation is by works, they never say, I believe I can lose it if I do the following. They say, I believe you can lose it if you do this, this, and this. So I'll be honest. What if I do this? What if I do that? Well, guess what? I am a created being. I'm not a chance accident of some evolutionary process. I was not made in a factory somewhere. I was not cloned. I am a creature. And so that's why the Bible says, nor any other creature, that's me, that's you, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm in Christ when I get saved. I'll never be anywhere but in Christ. Nothing can separate me from Jesus Christ. How about that? I don't know what you're confident in today. You might be confident in your good works. You might be confident in your religion. You might be confident in your self-righteousness. You might be confident in your strength and your ability to hold on. You might be confident in your dedication. Well, I've known myself, I've known Christians long enough to know that confidence is vain. So I'll put my confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's go to another place in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 2, and with that, Romans 11. Ephesians 2 and Romans chapter 11. And here's what somebody's going to say, because they always do. Really, they always do. This is a common thing you hear. Brother Bob, if I believe what you're saying, if I believe that once I'm saved, I'm always saved, well, what's to keep me from going out there and living any way I want to? And I'll tell you why that's such a foolish, silly argument. Because you do go out and live any way you want to. Sure you do. If you live right this week, it's because you wanted to. If you live wrong this week, it's because you wanted to. God didn't make you live right, and God didn't make you live wrong. He watched to see what you were going to do, and every single day of our lives, we do what we choose to do. We do right or we don't do right. It doesn't matter if you believe in eternal security or you don't believe in eternal security. You're going to do what you want to do. That's how people are. Now, if you love the Lord, you will want to live in a way that pleases Him. If you love the world, the flesh, and the devil, you're going to live after the flesh, no matter what you believe. And you know that's true. You know that. I know that. All right, so the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Okay? We are saved by grace. We are not saved by works. If I could lose my salvation once I had it, I would be saved by grace, but I would also be saved by works, obviously. Once I am saved by grace, if a failure to do good works could cost me that salvation, then I was not saved by grace. I was saved by works. That's obvious. If I can lose my salvation by smoking marijuana, then the way to heaven is trust Jesus and don't smoke marijuana. That is works. It's so obvious. And Romans 11, verse 6, look there. Romans 11, verse number 6 says pretty much the same thing, a little bit different. It says, "And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." Couldn't be any clearer. It cannot be both grace and works. It's got to be one or the other. If it's works, it's not grace. If it's grace, it is not works. Now, according to Ephesians 2, which is it? It's grace. Well, if it's grace, then it has to be all grace. It can't be grace up to a certain point and then works after that point, or else it becomes works and not grace. I mean, come on, how can it be all of grace? Okay, well, here we are. Here we are, you and I. We're 20 centuries or more from the death of Jesus Christ. And you've sinned every year that you've been alive. I have sinned every year I've been alive. I have been a sinner. You have been a sinner. We hear the gospel. We need to be saved. We need the new birth. Without Jesus, we will never make it to heaven. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. Jesus died for all your sins. Come to Jesus, trust Him, and He will forgive all your sins. Okay, let me ask you something. Let me ask you something. If you came to Jesus Christ in the year 1950, and you said, "Please forgive me, save me, give me eternal life," believing that Jesus had died for all your sins, okay, did He die for every sin up to 1950? But not the ones that would come in 1951? You say, "Well, now that doesn't make any sense. Of course He died for all my sins." Okay, all right, then are they paid for or are they not? Okay, then when you trusted Him for the forgiveness of your sins, did that expire in 1951 because Jesus had only died for the sins up to 1950? Or did he die for all the sins of all the world for all time? Okay, now listen carefully. I'll slow down. If Jesus died for all your sins, then which ones would you have to commit to not be saved anymore? If they're all paid for, if they are all washed away with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, if all have been atoned for, if all have been fully paid for, if the sacrificial payment on Calvary took care of every sin, were not all your sins future when Jesus died on the cross? You hadn't committed any sins yet when he died for your sins on the cross, and he died for all of them, all of them. That's why it's all grace and not grace plus works, because he died for every sin. And the grace that saves us from sin covers them all. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Well, isn't that good? I'm sealed. Are you saved? If you're saved, you are sealed. What kind of a seal is that? Well, let's look at two possibilities. Let's say it's a mark put on the outside, a stamp saying, "Mine, mine, it belongs to me." How long will that seal placed by the Holy Spirit on the believer, how long will that stamp abide? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, "Till the day Jesus Christ returns." Then if we say sealed, here's the other side. If we say sealed means placed inside something and preserved, well, we were placed in Christ. And the verse at hand says we are sealed unto the day, the very day when the Lord redeems our bodies and takes us to be with himself. Praise his holy name. I've used this picture before. Some ladies, they do canning, or they used to do it more a long time ago, but some ladies still do canning. They cook those preserves, they put them in a jar, they close the lid on that jar and seal. Now they seal the thing. In that jar you have sweet, pure, delicious preserves, and you have sealed them up. You take them out and you store them in the dirty garage, and dirt gets on the jar, cobwebs gets on the jar, dust gets on that jar. You go out one day, maybe a year later, you take that jar out of the garage, man, it's filthy. And you wash that lid off real good, you open it up, and what do you find? All the dirt that was on the outside did not affect the purity and the sweetness of what you had put inside the day you canned those preserves. Why? They are sealed. They're sealed. Hallelujah. I'm walking through this world, and guess what? I'm getting dirt on me. I'm getting dust on me. I'm getting cobwebs on me. But God put me inside Jesus Christ, preserves me there, seals me with the Holy Spirit. What an amazing thing. All right, look at verse 31 in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Well, in verse 30, he said they were sealed. In verse 31, they were not controlling their tongue. In verse 31, they were not treating people right. In verse 31, they had to be corrected because they had some bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice. But they were sealed. But they belonged to God. Now, he did not say, "You guys need to get rid of that bitterness and get back in Christ because you fell out." He didn't say, "You need to get rid of that wrath and anger because it cost you your seal. It cost you your redemption." No, no. We don't live right in order to go to heaven. We live right because we are going to heaven. Okay, we don't earn, we don't live right to earn God's blessing. We live right because God has blessed us. Amen? All right, quickly, look at John chapter 5. Very familiar verse. You might have this one memorized. I do. John 5, 24. Jesus is speaking here. And he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word," did you do that? "And believeth on him that sent me," did you do that? If you believed on him according to the word, listen to what he says. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Is that what you got? When you heard the word and believed, did you get everlasting life? That's what Jesus said. All right, finish the verse. "And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." How about that? Do you see that? Do you see it? If you have right now everlasting life, you got it by hearing and believing. Not by works, by hearing and believing. If you heard and believed, you have everlasting life. If you have everlasting life, you shall not come into condemnation. You see, he's the author and the finisher. He is the confirmer. He confirms unto the end. He puts you in Christ and he seals you there. He gives you eternal life and promises that you will not come into condemnation. Now, how can a man stand in a pulpit or come on the radio or sit in the living room and talk to you across the coffee table and say, "You're saved, but if you don't do this and you don't do this and you don't start doing this and you don't stop doing that, you're saved, but you'll end up in condemnation." When the same Lord that said, "I'll give you everlasting life," said, "And you'll not come into condemnation." You say, "Brother, I heard somebody say one time," doesn't matter what they say. What did God say? You say, "Well, I knew a man one time." We've all known people just like that. But what does the Bible say? John chapter 10. Verse 26, "Ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." Okay, now a sheep believes. Okay, one who does not believe, they're not counted as sheep. That's what the verse said. Verse 27, John 10, 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, did he give you eternal life? Well, that's what he said. That's what he said, and I believe it. I believe it. He said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." I sure believe that. I'm so confident I believe that. I'm so bold, I believe that. I'm so persuaded. I don't think I'm a good person. I don't think I live it. I don't think that I measure up. I'm just a glad recipient of what God was willing to give me. And he gave me everlasting life. Verse 29, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Excellent. Excellent. I'm in Jesus Christ. I'm in the hand of God, and no one, no thing, now or forever, can take me out of that hand. There's so many more places we could look. The Bible God wants to make sure in his Bible that we know this. 2 Timothy 1:12 is next. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So clear. And then Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Then in verse 7, Titus 3, 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. 1 John chapter 1. Just going through these last ones real quickly here, because they're all just confirming what we've already seen tonight. 1 John chapter 1, verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But the next verse says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's there to plead our cause. We're not alone in this, okay? He's making sure that we're going to make it through. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, is verse 23. First Thessalonians 5, 3. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He's going to do it. He's going to see to that, that we are preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing, amazing truths in the Bible. Let's wrap up with just one more verse. You know, no one who claims to be saved would deny that Jesus Christ is their Savior. Now, they might believe that they could lose that salvation, or they might believe that salvation is eternal, but they all believe they got that salvation because of something Jesus Christ did when he saved them by his grace. So, whatever side of this argument you're on, you believe that Jesus Christ is the one that saved you. Okay, now I'm going to read next in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 14. The Bible says there, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. Okay? Since God saved me, my salvation lasts forever. If God saved you, your salvation lasts forever. How do you like that? That's what I believe. I believe it with all my heart. And I'm not basing it on how I feel or by what somebody did or how somebody I knew one time lived. I believe it because it's written clearly in the Bible. Salvation by grace through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise his holy name. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for saving us. And not only saving us, but making sure that we didn't have to worry about hell ever again. We didn't have to worry about condemnation because you said it's eternal. You said it's everlasting. You said you're going to see it through to the end until you come again to redeem our body. We thank you, Lord, for all your wonderful promises and the comfort it gives us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.